This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
This is Ricey. You've been hearing my friend Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk, for years on the radio and Garage Logic podcast. I strongly recommend you sit down with Josh for your no-cost, no-obligation, 48-minute consultation on your investments, including your IRA and 401k. You can benefit from Josh's years of experience navigating different market and economic conditions, and he'll always give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Give Josh a call now at 952-925-5608 to book your no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation. That's 952-925-5608. You'll be glad that you did, and tell him Ricey sent you. Don't forget to ask, why is it 48 minutes, Josh?
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Ricey is a paid endorser.
Patrick Ricey, time for Unchained on Monday, the extended version. And what is on your mind after a busy weekend?
Well, I'm proud to say that I watched about 25 seconds of the NBA All-Star game, which was enough to see that they weren't playing at three-quarter speed this year. They were playing at half speed this year and letting people just walk on down and score baskets. What a joke. Why bother? What are we doing here? I mean, do the youth of America who are NBA fans, the 14-year-old kids, do they like that? Do they just the spectacular dunks and that stuff during the game? What do you think?
I think that, you know what, when it comes to hockey and basketball, I think football had the best idea. Name Stop. The teams, don't play. But I don't. Yeah. But I also don't care anymore, because how long has it been? Like, we all yearn for the days when these things were competitive.
Mm-hmm.
How long ago was that?
Yeah. Well, I went to when Magic came back, you know, and Orlando. I went to that All-Star game, and I went to that one, and I bet. But I went and saw Magic when they came Magic back, you know, when he came and they put him on the team, and there were fears because he had AIDS if they bumped up against him. And I said this earlier, that wouldn't be a problem now, even if you were afraid of AIDS, if you didn't get close enough to him defensively anyway to get hurt. It's absurd. I was out in Vegas about 10 years ago and bet the over on the NBA All-Star game, which was about 190 then, and I lost. They didn't get there. Yesterday was what?
The East had 210, right?
I think it was a 400. I think it was 400.
I don't think, I thought it was 397 or something,
so,
like that.
Yeah. 397. Close to it.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Cat got 50 and nobody cares. Yeah, it's but it is true that baseball is really the only sport that can play a facsimile of the game. And even that, with changing pitchers every, inning and, you know, bringing in a potential Hall of Famer every inning, that doesn't make for a lot of offense in that. But yeah, the NBA thing is just horrendous. But what the heck? It's, you know what's interesting about the NBA? The NHL has decided to not play it a week before the Super Bowl to avoid the Super Bowl, right? And these guys waited until a week after. There's only a third of the season left.
I know.
All-Star games usually do not occur that late. But anyway, that was we can write that off as a complete fiasco. Coach Finchie, though, I was hoping Finchie came out and ripped his defense after the game, but he probably didn't.
Oh, Finchie was having a ball. Are you kidding? He got a picture with Dr. J. He was thrilled.
And he was able to talk about his great relationship with Kat and stuff like that, right? So
Kat welcomed him.
Well, you know what? The TV down here, one of the stations they have on here, has the British Basketball League. So every once in a while you turn it on and they got a game from the British Basketball League where Finchie's a legend in the British Basketball.
Really?
League. Oh yeah, he played there and then he coached.
Oh no,
there for
I know,
nine
but
I'm, years.
Who shows British Basketball?
I don't know. It's some,
even I can't get that here.
Some station out of Miami or something. I don't know what it is. I think it must be. What's the regional sports network they have down here? Sun or something?
Sunshine Network.
I think they fill time on the Sunshine Network with games from the British Basketball League and various serious commentators talking about two teams none of us have ever heard of. So
that's funny.
Yeah, that is funny. So Gophers, that's as good as you can hope from the Gophers. They played good last night, except for that 3-minute period.
Yes, they did. But that 3-minute period is one of the damnedest things I've ever seen.
Now, I wonder if at any point during that 3 minutes that Ben Johnson might have said to himself, you know, we probably should have practiced that inbound pass against a frantic press, you know, when they're double and triple teaming guys. We should have 5-6 minutes of practice here to say, now, Dawson, we're going to have you throw it in, but we don't want you to throw a bounce pass into a triple team down at the guy's legs, huh? So it can go right down there and all that tangle of bodies. We don't want you to do that, Dawson. But maybe we should even tell him not to do that after he did it the first time, before he did it the second time. And then they pulled him out, and then they took those duties away from him, and it didn't get a hell of a lot better. But it was amazingly, when did that, well, you weren't there, were you?
No, I was watching.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sitting there saying, man, they're playing good. This is because the good first half against Iowa was they made 8 or 9 threes, right? When the good first half against Purdue, they made 6 threes or something. Yeah. They just played great. Pharrell Payne was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Rutgers isn't bad. They'll guard the living heck out of you. They play good defense. And the Gophers played tough. And Dawson Garcia played good defense, which I heard Ben saying he's their key to their defense, or he's the focal point of their defense. But I haven't noticed that this year. So anyway, that was a much needed victory for them. What did we announce the crowd at? 8 again?
I think it was 8 something, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very vocal, yeah. Though. I saw they tweets. Very vocal.
Very vocal. Okay. Yeah. Sundays at 5:30. If you can get a crowd, you're lucky. So.
I saw your very controversial tweet that Babu was upset about, that you called fans nitwits. But I mean, I'm with you on those. We've talked about this forever. The start times of Gopher basketball games are now some of the stupidest.
BTN is, if you got to play Sunday and you're not going up against the football, play it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon,
Exactly.
You got to play Sunday, Sunday night, that's stupid.
Well, it's 5:30 too, right?
It was five. That's what I mean.
You're exactly right. And if you're going to play Sunday night, start at like 6, started at a 5:30. Who's like prepared for a 5:30 Big Ten?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the BTN has ruined a lot of things. You can never, and now of course you might, I was just thrilled when I found out it was on TV and on BTN and not Peacock, because no access to Peacock down here. They've had like 4 or 5 games on Peacock, right?
Yep. And back-to-back Gopher hockey games against the Fighting Irish, both on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
Split series.
I noticed some hockey over the weekend. I looked a little at the WCHA. All of a sudden, Ohio State not only upsets Purdue in basketball, they beat Wisconsin twice last weekend in hockey. Gophers might end up finishing second, but there's Michigan State still going to win the WCHA and a big, not the WCHA, what do we call it? The Big Ten, yes, Big Ten, that's yep. Right. It was very controversial, Big Ten.
WCHA for the men, it's dead.
Yes,
it's gone
true.
Entirely.
That's true. We got the NCHC and the CCHA and the WCHA is gone. I don't know why we had to. One of those leagues could have kept the name, right? I guess there was a CCHC that didn't want to do that because they half the teams that ended up in that league were from the old CCHC, right?
Anyway. Yep, exactly. So what's going on Twins-wise?
Complete rainout yesterday, but it is amazing how quickly they got pitchers thrown to hitters. Yesterday was supposed to be the first day of full workouts, everybody there. And on Saturday already, they had pitchers on the mound on the big field throwing, full speed batting practice to, 3, 4, 5 of the regular hitters. It's a way early. You probably saw the Rocco talked about that the other day about how they all show up in shape and they're, they'd go down in bullpen and they'd throw a soft toss and then they'd throw a medium toss. And then they'd have about two more bullpen sessions and then they'd pitch an inning in a game. And now, Pablo might go 3 in the exhibition opener and then maybe take an extra day off between instead of they used to pitch him very short innings, but every 4 days, some of the time. So I don't know. We're closing in though on our Fighting Gophers are going to be here Friday night, right? Friday night, I think it is.
And started John's last season, right?
Yes. And they won at least 2 over the weekend. I saw they won 2 out of 3, I think, over the weekend. They started the season. Good. Meanwhile, the big campaign by the Vikings and the people running the Dome to have them never play baseball in there again. Have you heard that one yet?
No. For good?
Yeah, they're trying to get rid of baseball, I understand.
I thought that was part of the agreement that they could play
it was.
Baseball.
It was part of the agreement. People Stadium. The people that now run it,
yep.
The group that now runs it, they hate baseball and these no revenue things even more than the previous operators did. And you can see it when the Prep Bowl is there and it's as understaffed as they can possibly get. And they have about 2 concession stands open somewhere around the building. And they just if they're not going to get 30, 40, 50,000 people, they don't want anything to do with you. So,
well, and for baseball, they don't staff concession stands, right?
Oh, go for baseball. No, I don't. There's no.
I mean, what's the, what? You just have to get a little bit of security.
Yeah, yeah, you get 300 people, maybe.
Well, if the Gophers can't play there, what? I mean,
it's all road, baby. It's all, it's all going just like it is this year.
That's bad news, Pat.
Oh, that's extra.
That'll give Coyle ample opportunity to say it's too expensive.
Extra $300,000-$400,000 probably to travel around. Ooh, because ouch. Here's the thing. If commercial travel charges you a lot more for luggage than they used to, when these guys were traveling. So you're taking a baseball team's equipment with you. It's just like taking a hockey and travel has gotten way more expensive too, because for that very reason, they don't go. It's not like taking the tennis team, right? You got to take hey kid, put your 2 rackets in the overhead and a pair of tennis shoes. Let's go.
And it's hotel room accommodations. I mean, that's going to be a major problem.
Yeah, they probably triple them up and keep the cheapest hotels they can find. But there aren't any cheap hotels anymore that aren't hobbles. So it is. It'd probably be something. Now, plus Coyle's got to come up with some money for another raise for the Flecker, right? I mean, because UCLA just was panting to get him in there as the coach. They went for an assistant. Did you see that?
Sean Foster.
Yeah, apparently they thought he could keep the recruits together, huh?
That's not a good job, though. That's what I don't understand. No. We talked about it, like UCLA might be pursuing PJ Fleck. The more you look at that job, why would you want that job?
Yeah, they got terrible NIL situation. And as I said, it's 27 miles to your stadium.
Yes.
With PJ, you're practicing in your stadium. You know? Yeah. What would you want to? You come and you got your facility at UCLA, your whole thing, and then your game is 27 miles away, and they play seven home games, sometimes eight. They play seven home games. They draw big for Southern Cal, maybe another team. Most of the time, they got 25,000 people in a 100,000-seat stadium. Their average attendance, I looked up 2 years ago, was only like 38,000 or something, and that's Southern Cal's drawn 80, you know?
You just had a guy leave to become an assistant coach at another college. That's all you need to know about that job.
Yeah, but it's a great great scam for the PGA faction to say, he turned down the UCLA job, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, but as far as the Twinks are concerned, I don't know what competition we have going on, but the whole drama, and we talked about this in the morning too, is Buxton. Is he going to play? If he plays five games a week, yahoo, it'd be wonderful. But I think the odds of that are 20% probably.
Have we got an explanation of why it took so long to perform the surgery that they finally performed when he also, I think, had a procedure done in the fall of 2022?
Yes, he did. And did they send him to a internationally famous knee specialist or something that discovered this thing? It said, because it sounds like it's fairly simple. It was two flaps of skin that were was it underneath the patella or something?
But that's what doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But they all reached the same conclusion that Twins fans reached last year. He's not very valuable if he's a DH.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, he's valuable when he's catching the ball in the gap, and he's not denying it. He's a better hitter when he's playing. I think deep down he comes off with this wonderful confidence. You know, he's just a confident athlete, and you know, he's a fantastic athlete. But I think he frets, and when all you can do is hit, and you've now struck out. You strike out with two guys on base in the first inning, and it's your eighth strikeout in your last 10 at bats, and you're not going to come up again for an hour. I think he frets.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's stewed. So they got to get him out there. The other thing, though, is as we've heard from Rocco constantly, the get them off the feet. I got to get them off their feet theory. This is where this is going against the get them off his feet theory, because he might only get four balls hit to him, but if he's playing eight innings out there, that's a lot of time on his feet. You better have as good a pitching as you had last year to keep him off his feet. If you have a bad pitching, you really going to have trouble.
Do you think there's one more starter move coming? Move for a starting pitcher?
I don't know. I don't really. I'm not sure. I'm not. I don't think so. You know, there's guys out there, man, alive. I mean, they're not going to get one of the high priced ones, but if they do something, they'll trade for them, right? They'll trade. What can they get for Larnick? That's the kind of thing they do. Or Walner, probably Larnick though, but or Kepler maybe, but I don't know. Somebody was talking up Kepler to me as a possible, column piece. He's going to be like he might end up having his career here. You know, he survived a long time here. And I'm talking like that, there's just been no market for Kepler so far. So this is Patrick Ricey for the Canopy Group. The insurance industry is full of one agent representing one company. That must sound familiar to most of you. Chances are your current agent has just one company. But think how limiting that really is. You need more than one agent representing more than one company. The Canopy Group gives you 50 specialists and 16 separate insurance companies. Some of the names you'll recognize, like Auto Owners and Progressive, some you won't, but here's what you get. an agency that will shop for the best possible coverage from all of these different companies. As your needs change, the Canopy Group continues to find the best coverage for a company that specializes in just what you need. Are you stuck with one company and one agent? Are you confident that your home, auto, and business are properly insured? If not, get options. Visit thecanopygroup.com. I don't know. I just don't. I don't see him getting a high price. I can see him getting a medium one, you know, $8 million guy, but not a huge one.
But the market is weird. Like, you have all, you have so many of these guys left still, you know?
How come they didn't bring back Donovan Solano? You know, why is he not here? Well, he can't cost any money, for God's sake.
I'd bring Taylor back as Buxton insurance, because I do not like this plan of, well, Willie Castro can play out there.
Yeah, well, Willie can play there twice a week, you know, max.
Yeah, exactly.
If Buxton can't play, then Austin Martin or somebody has got to be your center. But Austin Martin's just learning the position.
But is that a plan? Like, Taylor was a plan.
Taylor was a plan.
You know, but Castro is a utility guy.
I kind of feel sorry for Taylor. I mean, he was what he was. He strikes out. He bats out 220, but God, he hit 20 home runs, didn't he? 21.
Well, and he could go catch the ball.
Oh, he's a great center fielder.
I thought he was fantastic in center field.
Yes, he is. And I don't know if they're waiting for a lower now. I think they're going to wait until they see Buxton. I don't know. I don't know. But what are these guys doing? They're going to have to be having one of those camps in Arizona pretty soon, aren't they, for the Scott Boras type camp?
Yeah.
They got 20 of these guys that don't have jobs that are going to show up. But they got some guys who there's some guys hanging out there who deserve to be in the big leagues, that's for sure. I don't quite, you know, now Bellinger must be waiting for huge, huge money. I mean, a lot of them. The big names are all Boras clients.
Yep.
Boras wants Jordan Montgomery to get like the same money as Aaron Nola got in Philadelphia. And he had three great months, right? He's been an okay left-handed starter. But Boras, you know, we all say that Boras isn't being reasonable, but then he usually gets what he wants, except in the case of Carlos Correa. He did not get what he wanted.
No, not ultimately, but he sort of did in – what would it have been, 2022, right? When he placed him here with the full intention of then to get him out.
Yes.
That's what I wonder if he's
keep saying.
That's going to happen.
There's nobody more surprised about Carlos Correa still being with the Twins than the Twins. No. There's no team. They, all of a sudden, Boras basically called their bluff last year. They made, you know, this Twins operation and some of the previous ones have been famous for keeping their bids just low enough to say they bid, but not to actually get the player, you know, and increase the payroll. And this, you know, with Carlos, they gave him the $200 million offer and said, okay, we aren't going to get him. And a month later, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, yes, we're coming back to you.
Oh, no.
I mean, they're lucky they got him. He's a great, great player. And he does... He brings a class of talent to this team by being that good of a shortstop, and he'll have a better year at the plate too, I think. I see he's got a new swing and something like that. I never quite buy all that stuff. I go way back to my father, Richard Ricey, who was a big baseball man and loved those notions that some guy made this little tweak and he'd make a, you know, and then he'd get on a hot streak, and, you know, and that was the solution to the problem. And Sid used to be big on those, you know, in the notes in his column. Bob Allison has changed his foot in the batting box, and that's why he's been on a tear for the last week. Well, he was that kind of hitter. He'd be on a tear for 2 weeks and lousy for a month.
Right.
But my father used to always clip those out and mail them to me. And the clip would circle those things. Even though I'd see him twice a week, he'd always mail them to me with the circle and the secret that was going to turn Bob Allison into a terror here for for the rest of his, he's cured for the rest of his career.
We used to change stances a lot, though. Herbeck would change his stance every month.
Yeah, well, Rodney, nobody changed his stance more than Rodney. You know, I think the fact that Rodney could hit had a lot to do with the success of the change stance. Herbie, I think, was doing it for, you know, he had to get his belly out of the way there when he was swinging, but Rodney never had to learn.
Well, Carew had what, the day? The bat would sort of wiggle.
And wiggle. Yeah, but he'd get real, he'd crouch too. You know, he'd get crouchy and against some guys. Louis Arraez is a lot like him, really is. Mm-hmm. Not the same hitter, though, but the bat is like him. You know, Rodney never struck out either. So, it'd be nice to find out what the competition is down here, but Larnick, what are they going to do with Larnick? Because he's not on the club right now. I was counting up the 13. I don't think you can send him back to St. Paul, can you? What are you going to do? They'll probably have to move him. If you got Waller, Kepler, I mean, it'd be nice to have him in case somebody gets hurt, but, you know, he's going to go down there and pout like a son of a gun, and, you know, it's time to move on. I would think they got another outfielder on the way up in a year or two. So
that's my question on Kepler. So are they just going to keep him in right, or are they going to try and move him? Yeah.
Yeah, no, if they were going to trade, somebody told me they were going to trade one or the other, Polanco or Kepler, and whichever offer they felt was the best, they would. So apparently that was the best offer they got from Seattle, which some prospect who was what, their 25th best prospect or something like that. And then they got the relief pitcher. So, yep. They thought that was a good deal for Jorge, but, Jorge could have been your DH too. So I don't know. I was wondering about, you know, Kyle Farmer came back and I was thinking, where's he going to get his at bats? You know, he can play some against lefties instead of Julian, but you got Lewis and Correa who you're going to try to play every day. But now I'm thinking right-handed DH, you know, who's their, they don't have a DH, right? Who's the DH?
No, they don't.
Yeah. So that's he could.
I mean, Santana can, but he's also good at first base.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kirill, a lot of it, you know, we talk about Buxton, but Kirilov's another question. You know, that I still say they got Santana because they don't know about him. We think about the injuries, but he's not only had this wrist thing, but he's had injuries through his entire minor league career and everything. He's hurt all the time.
Yep.
Too bad. I love that swing, man. I love that guy.
Oh, God.
He can really hit. But then again, he is not going to give you too many good quotes. If you're going to write something about Alex Kirilov, you got to talk to other people because there's nothing going on there. And if there is, he's not going to tell you about it.
Yeah, he's got the cliches down to science, and that's about it.
Yeah, he was, I did a piece on him one of the years I was down here early, and he'd moved down here with his wife, and they were living back
I remember
here.
That.
Yeah, yep. And I thought, oh, this is going to be good. I'm going to get this kid, and nobody else, a month before anybody else has him, and after 20 minutes of pulling teeth, I said, oh, okay, Alex, thank you very much. And that's about the last time I really tried. Maybe one specific question.
It's not good in the clubhouse after games.
One specific question about an at-bat or something like that might be the only way to go with him. But it's not real easy, that's for sure.
I did see that, shockingly, Christian Vasquez showed up at camp in fantastic shape too. Speaking of guys being in fantastic shape, he said, I'm in great shape.
Yeah, he is. As Gardy said about Jose Maharis, is he in shape? And somebody asked him and he says, he's in a shape. So, I mean, he looked like Sam Christian. He didn't look like he was in better shape. He's a He's a blocking back. You know, he's a
yep.
He's a high school blocking back.
I just want to see him catch the ball consistently. I've never seen a guy known as a good defensive catcher who struggled more to catch the damn baseball.
Yeah, he lets a few go back to the backstop. That's for sure. But he can't be real happy with this Ryan Jeffers is going to catch 100 games thing either, can he?
But he didn't play in the playoffs, Pat.
Yeah, and I have other people telling me that it'll be more 50-50 than you think it is because the pitchers prefer to throw to him. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So, but then again, Sonny's gone, so he's picking out who he wants to catch him, but he's gone. Pablo, I don't think, cares one way or the other. So this might not be a staff that has the guys to say who they want to pitch to, you know, that, right. Like with Sonny gone. So that I'm not sure about that, but I know that some people tell me they're not big. Jeffers is still a work in progress as a catcher. So, although I don't think it's from stealing pitches or anything. I think it's just the receiving, which to me, the receiving is somebody says he was too high. Sometimes they think Jeffers is too high.
Is that something too high?
Yeah, he's a big man. He's a big kid. But
yeah.
Boy, that would be great if he could repeat his year, though. That's another question you look at because whenever one of these young guys has a really good year, you think, wait till next year. But sometimes you just saw it. Sometimes you just saw the best it's ever going to be. So,
well, that's a tough job. I mean, that's as tough a job as there possibly can be in baseball, right?
Oh, God, yes.
Where you're actually, because I mean, the catching part plays such a huge role, especially now with all of the, contingencies involved with what you can and can't do.
Yeah, that's true. And didn't we kind of think there'd be progress on the automatic strike zone this year that maybe they'd have the challenge system or something? Boy, it's been completely quiet, right?
Yep.
And I think Manfred's theory is, I think Manfred maybe in a good way. Okay, we changed up. We made big changes last year. Let's let it settle down and let them get used to that one before we throw another one at them. So
he's a smart guy too. He said, "What, 5 more years and I'm done.
I'm done." Yeah,
good for him. That's what a commissioner should say. Not Gary Bettman. I'm going to stick around as long as I possibly can.
Yeah. Well, plus when he says that, that means that he's got a job for 5 years. And, because all the owners would say, "Oh, he's done." You know. What if the owners were to say, why don't you announce 3 more years and you're done? And then we'll reevaluate it. But I don't know. Ever have a commissioner? Now, he still gets booed because people love to boo commissioners. But did you ever see a guy who had his image as a commissioner change more with one nice little rule change? Let's make this a 2-hour and 40-minute game instead of a 3-hour and 20-minute game. Yay, well, Rob, you're great.
And then he came out, I think it was Friday, and said, I want a signing deadline type of thing for players. Like his whole, which is smart. His whole thing is, I want to create an urgency for guys to sign. But of course, immediately Scott Boras pushed back and said, we ain't doing that.
Mm-hmm. To make their good offers, but Scott wants to wait till opening day.
Scott likes this. Scott likes to take his guys through. I think thinks he's still maximizing
He would have to negotiate it, right? With the Players Association, would he?
Yeah. Yes, and the players. They tried to do it during the lockout a couple of years ago to get like a deadline to sign or some type of deadline.
Or something like that.
Told them to bleep off.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, for fans, it would be great.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Yeah, I guess it would, but this is unusual, though, this year, that this many veterans are waiting. You know what has had more to do with that than anything? Regional TV networks.
That's
one reason you're all
Rangers.
You people are saying, yeah, the Rangers.
Rangers are a poster child.
They've already made a great offer to Montgomery. It's just Boris being an idiot. Nobody is going to give that guy who was slightly better than a journeyman left-hander until he won the World Series for the Rangers. That kind of, nobody can be that stupid. George Steinbrenner isn't alive anymore.
Yep.
So he's not going to give, nobody's going to give him that deal. But of course I've said that about Boris 100 times and he's got what he wanted, 90 of them, but he's not going to get that kind of money. And also Cody Bellinger, the Cubs, he had a great year with the Cubs. They've offered him a bunch of money. Why didn't he take it? You know,
especially because what, 2 or 3 years ago, he had an awful
Oh, the Dodgers.
He's unplayable.
He was MVP, and then he was terrible for 2 years.
Yep.
And they finally, he was batting 170 in August or something like that.
Yep.
It was brutal. And then he goes to the Cubs and has a great year. He loves Wrigley Field. They all love him. Why not sign him? Take what, give him a, give me an, give me the old, after two year opt out, go get, get a good deal with the Cubs. I don't get it.
That's why Boros's press conference here when Correa signed the second contract focused solely on the anatomy.
The sins of the worldwide orthopedic industry.
The greatest ever.
That was right.
Screwed me left and right. These doctors don't know what they're talking about.
The orthopedes of the world are all idiots,
They colluded against Scott Boros.
Yes, it was
unbelievable.
It was amazing because the best talk I ever had with him, just individually, was after the Royce Lewis signed here because, he came in with Royce and he had Hunter Green too. And he told me, he said, they signed the right guy. But he might have told Cincinnati the same thing. But then, it was a fairly candid conversation for like 12, 15 minutes. And he's a reasonable guy because I brought him back. I told him the story about the legendary story about George Brophy screaming at him.
Yeah.
And I asked him, he said, I can't remember that, but it sounds like George, because you were a bleeping bleep baseball player and you're going to be a bleeping bleep agent.
That was Belcher, right? Tim Belcher?
Tim Belcher, yeah. First pick in the overall draft. The Twins didn't sign him. That was the year the Twins didn't sign their top three picks. They all ended up in the big leagues.
Yep.
Belcher, Billy Swift, and Oda B. McDowell.
Oda B. McDowell, yes.
Didn't sign any of them.
That was a hell of a draft, by the way.
Yeah, they did. George did a hell of a job. He got good drafting, George. He just didn't sign any of them. What year? What, 82? 83?
Yeah. 83. Yep.
That's still one of the most phenomenal things of Calvin's career. You leave Met Stadium in 81. Everybody gets a little kick when they go to a new ballpark, right?
Yep.
Even if it is a tricked up ballpark, but you got a new stadium with a roof on it, right? And Calvin gave the people about 2 weeks to show up, and then he started trading everybody he had, making a Weininger, Smalley, Corbett. He started trading anybody, making anybody. And then the next year, he didn't sign anybody. I think it was the next year he didn't sign anybody out of the draft. It was unbelievable.
And that place was empty.
Oh, 915,000 in a new ballpark. That's pretty impressive. That's a pretty impressively low number. I've always taken great pride, though, in my first year in the Beat in 74. The first year there, they didn't draw 700,000 that year. And I said, they used to look at Fowler and I, you guys are the reason that nobody's there, you SOBs, So that St. Paul paper, I'm sure I was influenced at least 8 people, whether it was a game or not.
Hey, tell me about your favorite place to get a car, Patrick.
Well, it's Jim Paul and Brett Paul's Valley Group of GM Dealers. Fantastic machines out there, all variety of SUVs from the smaller ones to the bigger ones. You got the Sierra trucks on those sites, the GMCs, and they do have some sedans. And that's what I've always bought from them, sedans. But I kind of got my eye on that little SUV. We'll see if that happens or not. But great interest rates right now, too. 0.9% on some vehicles, if you qualify, 1.9%. That's like the old days, man, those interest rates. So Brett Paul and Jim Paul, Valley Group of GM Dealers, Apple Valley and Hastings. I trust them. Go ahead. You can trust them, too.
Wolves. Come back on Friday night.
Yes. I got to admit, I'm a sure to see him at 39-16. I didn't exist. 39-16, right? 39-16. Wow.
I think that's correct.
55 games.
They only got 20. They only got a third of the season left, 26 games. It's pretty good. They've kicked a few away here and there. They've had the down periods, but, they seem to be playing good again now. I think getting that Morris was a good deal. They needed another guard. They could use a shooter, and they might get one. They might. Mm-hmm. They might. Somebody. There's still about four or five more of these buyouts to come along. Gallinari, though, he would have been a good guy to pick up. He can shoot, but what a great scam that is for the NFL.
For
the NBA to buyouts? Load up their good teams. We're gonna give just so it's not a Russell Westbrook buyout. Don't go get him, okay?
No.
I saw a Laker game the other night, and they gave him – the Lakers were coming back. They were going to win the game. Russell got it in the corner. Damn near tore the backboard down with his jump shot over there. It was a three. What are you doing, Russell? He's terrible.
He's Clippers, though, right? Clippers now, right?
Clippers.
He was Lakers.
Clippers playing.
He played for everybody. He's like Bobby Bonds.
Clippers playing the lake for the Lakers, and the Clippers were trying to come back and boing. Not against us, though. The Clippers, I think they might have won that game, but it was just a rock of all time. And I said, what are you shooting for? That's where he is. But, yeah, one more shooter sure would help. They could use a guy that, you know, when they're going stale in the second half and Jaden McDaniels is throwing up bricks and not doing anything offensively, you could get a
playoffs. You know, it could really back.
Yeah. Cause Kyle Anderson can't, you know, he's can't give you anything offensively. And, they could use a shooter. Playoffs are going to be trouble with the playoffs is you might end up, talking about this, that, you might end up with Golden State or the Lakers in the first round if you're the, one seed, so it's not going to be a walkover no matter who you're playing. What do you think? They're going to make it? They're going to make it to the one seed? That'd be something.
They're a game and a half up on OKC right now.
Yeah, OKC.
I think they got a good chance.
Clippers might be the team to worry about, huh? But yeah. Clippers, one of those guys is going to take 10 games off, right? George or
Kawhi. Yeah.
Kawhi's
well, not or Harden will. Something will go wrong.
Yeah, something. One of them, you know, this is. I've been amazed how well they played, but Kawhi can't Iron Man it all the way to the finish here, for goodness sakes.
I think the top seed would mean something from an organizational standpoint to OKC or the Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. I don't know the Clippers give a damn, to be honest with you.
Oh, no, I don't either. I don't think so. I don't think it makes any difference about who you're going to be playing either. It's not like there's a 35 and 47 dog sitting down there for you to play if you... Especially with the 7-10 goof.
I'll say this. A playoff run would be a heck of a way for Glenn to go out as owner, though, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Glenn is very excited about him. He and the wife were down here in Naples for about 3 weeks, and they're missing five home games. The first they've missed all year. So they're coming back, I think, on the 23rd or 4th or something like that, and they're going to. They're not leaving again until the basketball season's over. So he's involved, emotionally involved. Even if
is Glenn keeping the seats for next season?
I don't know, but he was telling me about the Marv and Harv deal when he made the Marvin Harb deal, and he made his offer, and then when he got done making his offer, he said, "And you keep your seats." And he said to Marv Harb, you know, the four seats they had down there, and for Marv, that was, he said, Marv came over and shook his hand. He said, you know, the cherry on top was you keep your seats. So that's, I would think, yeah, I would say he'd keep his seats, wouldn't he? What the heck?
I would guess he will, because he's still going to own a portion of the team, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not out entirely, right? So, yes.
Yeah.
But he's and always
gotta,
there.
I got to say this off the record, so I hope nobody's listening. But he told me the truth about the Joe Smith deal.
Yeah?
Off the record. Because he took responsibility, you know, as the owner. He took responsibility. So we can't go back and try that one over again. But
relitigate it?
Yeah, we can't relitigate that. But, yeah, I now can rest on that, because I know what happened now. So, and Glenn was more heroic in that situation than you would think he was. So
that is that where some of the bad blood with KG started?
Yeah, I think when I write this, I'll have his version of what that happened. But it's baffling to him that one comment he would make about KG quitting on, you know, mean, you know,
right.
He explained that too. And that would turn, I mean, he did make him the highest paid player in basketball. And then he gave him another one on top of that. So I think I once figured it out. He paid him almost $300 million. So how do you, it's hard.
Well, it was almost destructive that, you know, the Flip tragedy, because Flip brought him back here then and was going to give him a piece of he said he'd have a piece of the team, but the whole thing's very odd. I just wish they'd get it resolved.
Flip is his guy, man. Flip is his guy. He loved Flip more than anybody. And he said the biggest piece of, again, he shouldn't have let Kevin fire Flip and Bob, they said. So anyway,
right.
I can't give away too much of this, so
that's interesting stuff.
Whenever we're going to write the damn thing, so
when's it going to appear? Sure.
I don't think we got an official date yet. So,
all right,
but it's not. You know, the sale was supposed to be February 29th. There, the boys aren't going to hit that one, to say the least. So,
all right.
Sounds good.
Talk to you tomorrow on Shane Tuesday.
Go Wild, big game for the Wild.
1 o'clock. I'm headed out there. Okay. Canucks in town. We hate the Canucks.
Are they still first in the West?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're first in the league. They're very, very
good. What a turnaround. Okay. Mm-hmm. See you. Goodbye.
All right. See you later.